The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word, and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I'm coming up on a rebrand. I know that we've talked about a lot about being the Shit 90s squad or maybe like the Shitheads, but I think that we should just be like the sticky bandits.
I don't want to be sticky anything.
Sticky Shows Taught Me.
How about why? That? Why? That's
because
terrible.
Maybe I want a glove made of tape to collect all sorts of things.
You're the Marv and I'm the Harry.
I mean, he got like pearls from the ground with that sticky hand.
He also got bricks to the face like 7 times.
We're high on bricks.
You do love Brick Talk, so.
Oh, I totally, I forgot about Brick Talk, but yeah.
Oh, you haven't watched Brick Talk? Is it off your page or whatever?
It hasn't come up, no.
Not in your algorithm anymore?
No.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
We're talking Home Alone 2, obviously. You read the title of this podcast before you could play, like we all know you did. We're talking Home Alone 2, 'tis the season.
Yeah, it won the poll.
It did win the poll. That's right. We did do a poll.
Yeah, we can't forget how we got here.
This is a democratic society.
We tried everything to not cover this movie.
No. We tried everything to not cover Batman.
I would have gone full in on Batman.
But... I like Batman, but like, is that putting me in the jolly spirit? Absolutely not.
But here we are. We covered Home Alone 1 last year.
We did with someone who is also joining us today.
Yeah, another sticky bandit.
Another sticky bandit. Chappelle, how are you?
I'm good. I am the stickiest of bandits.
So sticky.
I'm happy to be back, but I am disappointed that we did not talk about Batman Returns because that is my favorite Christmas movie.
There we go. Did you vote for it in the poll?
Die Hard.
I voted for it on the Nothing But Netflix account, the Chappelle account. Like,
I wonder how many votes.
I knew like the Batman people were voting in multiple ways. Just like, you know, the Cherry Hill people back in the RHAP days, we always used to blame the Cherry Hill, New Jersey people Like, yes, oh, there are so many accounts.
Paul was probably quote tweeting that crap and getting all his like followers and stans to be like voting for Batman out there.
I could have tried to leverage my Z to ZZ list celebrity to try to get a few more votes, maybe like four.
I believe it.
I did not. It was a very, very close poll. The results were tight, but yeah. Home Alone 2 it was. And of course, it's the holiday season, and we can't have just one guest on. We have to have two. Bringing these two together for the holiday season, for a little bit of love, you know, a little bit of friendship, we had to bring on the one, the only Touchdown Tommy. Tommy, how are you?
I'm doing great, except for I was at a concert and, you know, some kid behind me was wiggling my ears. How did no one stop that kid?
They listen, Tommy. They give Buzz so much. They really do.
And he's the worst.
He sucks. I totally agree. Totally.
This is why I'm never like, I always laugh at the line in the first Home Alone. Buzz, your girlfriend. Woof. Because you know what? Buzz deserves to be ridiculed. He's the worst.
Mm-hmm. But does his girlfriend deserve to be ridiculed though?
Absolutely not. But you know what?
Like, there's other things to drag Buzz about. Like, there's a list we could have went to.
But Tommy, how are you doing? What's your history here with Home Alone? Because obviously we talked to Chappelle last year about the first Home Alone, but you had a little bit of a hot take to say before we got on the podcast.
Yeah. So I'm doing great. Life's wonderful as the holiday times. But Home Alone 2 is probably my least favorite Christmas movie. And it's because I was an ABC family boy. You know, like that channel was like on 24/7, especially when they did their Christmas movie marathons. This movie was on way too much. Maybe it just was synced to my schedule. It was always on. And I never saw Home Alone 1 because it was always Home Alone 2 that was pitched as like the peak Christmas. It's more Christmas than even Home Alone. It's more Home Alone. And it was always on. Bird Lady was scary to me.
Oh, yeah. The Pigeon Lady. Yeah. The funny thing is about Home Alone 2 is he's not even home alone. He's lost in New York, as the subtitle would say. Like, he's not. I don't know. I guess I could see how this would be like quoted as the more Christmassy movie because like literally New York is like always viewed as like the most Christmassiest city. So you're making a face. It is the tree in Rockefeller Center.
That's true.
Like the snow, right? Like you're not going to be like, oh, the most holiday city is freaking Orlando, Florida. Like, no.
Well, I mean, Miami, they do. You could put some lights on some palm trees. I heard.
I literally never, ever want to do that.
Okay. I guess so. So, I mean, obviously, I live in New Jersey. I definitely take New York for granted. I'm not that impressed with it. I, of course, have seen the tree in Rockefeller Center and ice skated there. And I've seen all the shops. So, yeah, like I've done the New York City Christmas thing. Am I impressed by it? No. Because it's really, really busy.
It is. Chappelle, have you ever visited New York City around Christmas time?
No, I've only been to New York twice, but I am completely the opposite of Sarah here. Watching this movie, first of all, Tommy's wrong, but also watching this movie as a child was just amazing to me. This is my Christmas movie because I think this is kind of like my dream as a kid was to just be like in some huge city with all the lights and all the people by myself where I could just like kind of run them up. I have endless money, you know, and just do what I want to do.
Yes.
So this is my jam. Right? This speaks to me to on a core level. Like I'm a seven and this is the most 7 year stuff I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to do like the holidays in New York or, you know, in that area. But I'm from Texas, so we don't get any of this.
I think that everybody should experience it at least once. It really is a sight to see, especially the Bloomies windows and all of that.
The Bloomingdale's for those unfamiliar with Bloomies. It's just,
yeah. I feel, of course. I just think that I never thought as New York is the most Christmassy city.
I just think like when you look at a lot of
what's more Christmassy? That's a great question.
Well, I think I feel like the only other thing that is more Christmassy is if you're looking at like Hallmark movies, it's like a small town in Vermont, like a made up small town in Vermont that you go home to.
I feel like London really wants the most Christmassy city.
Because of Love Actually?
No, I don't know. Oh. They just love Christmas, like going to Harrods during Christmas.
Going to where?
It's like the British Macy's.
Oh. British Macy's.
Forget it.
I guess, like, look at the movie Serendipity. Like, look at this movie. Like, a lot of these... I think to me the reason it is that way is because people, especially I live in upstate New York, and a lot of people will like go down to the city, which is what we call New York City, the city, go to the city around the holidays for shopping, for ice skating, to see the tree. Mm-hmm. Like it's a big thing people do. Tommy, you're from Buffalo. Was this a thing? I mean, you're a bit farther, obviously. It's a bit of like what, like an 8-hour drive to go to the city for you. But like, was this a thing for you? Do you see the New York City as like the Christmas city?
Yeah, I think so. And I think snow is a big factor. Like when you think of big cities, LA's out, there's no snow there, you know, right. Florida, there's no. So I think it is. And I definitely knew like people that would like road trip to New York City and be like, all right, we're going for the Christmas time vibes. God. Like people would go down from Western New York, which is farther than people think it is. It's a hike to get down to New York City.
So I'm just learning I'm a jaded asshole and I'm okay with that.
Well, to be fair, like you said, like because of your proximity to the city, it's not as like big of a deal for you because you could like hop and bop right on over there.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is one of those New York City movies. My husband, who grew up on Long Island, knows New York City very well. And he said it is like super inaccurate. Like a lot of times Kevin will be running and he's like, how that would have taken like a 20 minute run to get from this place to this place. Like,
yeah,
you know, the
that was my hottest Kevin take is... I guess I was just like, I said to Drew, who I haven't gotten Drew to watch one movie with me in the 3 years that we've done this podcast except for Home Alone 2, so I feel like that should say enough, because I've not been able to hold his attention at all. But he watched this movie with me, and I said to him, I was like, Kevin's really all over the place here. He was in Chinatown. He was...
He started at what, JFK, right? That's where they landed?
No, he started off in LaGuardia.
Wait, which one did I go to, Sarah? You know I went to one of those New York airports recently. Well, whichever one it was, I hated it. So it's that one.
Yeah. I don't remember which one, but
it wasn't JFK, because JFK is like really clean and nice. It was like the shitty
probably
one.
In LaGuardia.
Yeah, LaGuardia's trash. Don't fly there.
Yeah. Well, so he was all over the place. He was on the Upper East Side. He was in Central Park. As like a person that has watched a lot of SVU, I was very concerned. And Kevin hanging out in Central Park all the time, because everybody dies in Central Park in SVU. Everybody.
They even said it in this movie. They're like, kids should be terrified of the park because, I mean, no one makes it out of there alive. And I was thinking, what? You know,
Central Park is terrifying, especially at night.
Yeah, as a kid, that was probably like, you know, like Tommy said, he was afraid of the pigeon lady. And I too was kind of like, you know, not loving her because she's in the park and she's scary. But, you know, Sarah, to your point about proximity, my proximity to New York is these movies and stuff, right? So, of course, it makes sense for it to be Christmassy to me, because I can't really think of a New York movie that doesn't have a Christmas scene in it. Scrooge, Miracle 34th Street, you know, like they're all like these big Christmas movies. Even I think When Harry Met Sally, they were like, it was Christmas. Hell, Into the Spider-Verse was a Christmas movie, you know, like there's like randomly a Christmas tree around. So it's just, that's what comes, you know, comes with the territory and being, you know, in New York, or at least viewing New York from thousands of miles away.
Mm-hmm. Are you in the Christmas spirit this year?
What does that mean anymore? You know,
I don't know. I've asked everybody, and everyone's like, meh, except for Jessica, who seems like really zippy about Christmas.
I really love Christmas. I think I'm just exhausted, though. And it's not, I'm not exhausted by Christmas. I'm just exhausted by the extra things that come along with the holiday season. So you have extra like parties you have to go to, things you have to prep for, presents you have to buy and wrap, and you have to decorate. And it's just like, adding that onto my already busy schedule has made it to the point where I'm like, I'm not resenting the holidays more that so that I'm resenting all the other responsibilities that I have. But I'm just like, I'm just very tired at this point of the year, I think.
Well, this is my tip for wrapping gifts, Jess, to save you time. Mm-hmm. Just set yourself up, set up everyone in your life as a notoriously bad rapper. That's what I've done since.
But I've already established myself as a good rapper. What am I supposed to do now?
Your skills have depleted.
My hands hurt this year, everyone.
I don't cut a single piece. I cut the strip that I need, and then I just mash it all together.
Oh my god, that's horrifying.
I can show you Tommy's rapping skills.
Oh, that's horrible. See, my brother is the one who just doesn't rap. Like, he'll give you something literally in like a grocery bag, and that's it.
No, just go get the like Christmas bags. You know, that's what I do. Go get the bags.
I just hate the way they look. I really don't like them. This year I did get, though, I bought, you know, like clothes boxes that you normally have to have
clothes. Oh, Tommy.
Tommy just brought in a present he wrapped. Tommy, that looks like a 5-year-old did it. It looks
Tommy, this
horrible.
Is for Rebecca, your girlfriend.
No, is that for Rebecca?
Tommy. Yes, but that's why you set it up. It's no one cares because they're like, oh, classic Tommy, you're gonna have the bad
Tommy sucks at wrapping presents.
That's the bar low, baby. Yeah.
No.
Saves so much time. No stress about wrapping gifts over here at the Pizzullo house.
Oh no.
See, that looks like pasta wrapped that present.
Cat wrapped it. Yeah, I did. I will say this year though, I did get clothes boxes that have decorations on them, so I don't need to put the clothes in the box and then wrap the box. I could just put the clothes in the box and then the box is already like wrapped.
That's very lazy.
Okay, well, you know what? I have a lot to do, Sarah.
I just feel like I was like, oh, okay, so you're getting the box so that's easier to wrap the present.
No, I got the boxes so I don't have to keep wrapping shit because I have so many goddamn presents to wrap and I have a week until Christmas.
Dude, hire me. I would
send them. Yeah, send them over here. I got your back.
No, Tommy, absolutely not.
Send them to Tommy.
Oh my god.
Let's talk about like what Kevin got into this year, because
freaking
we met Kevin.
Kevin
last year. I don't know how old Kevin is supposed to be.
He
but
said, isn't he 11 or 10?
He's 11. So he was okay. What
he said, and I think he's 11 or 10.
Kid aged.
That's literally funny. Who cares or knows? He's too young to be in the city by himself, but old enough where like he doesn't get questioned too much apparently when he just is using a credit card everywhere he goes.
Yeah. 1 year later and he's already still a fuck up. I can't believe it. And you would think that after last year everybody would be like, so sorry Kevin, like we abandoned you last year and you caught the wet bandits and we're so grateful for you, but oh how a year has passed and everybody has forgotten how much Kevin has done for society, because it's shit on Kevin time again.
They hate him so much. Yeah. And honestly, like, we watched the first movie and I was like, Kevin's a badass kid, but his family sucks too. In this movie Kevin was fine. He was minding his own business, singing. Yeah. He had a Christmas solo. He tried to turn his life around after getting deserted by his family last year. And then his stupid ass brother starts like Tommy said, like playing the drums on his head with like candles and stuff like that during the middle of the Christmas concert. Buzz deserved to get punched in the face. And his mom should have made Buzz like apologize sincerely. But she's so hell-bent on making Kevin, be held accountable for his actions that she doesn't even give a damn that they don't treat Kevin like he has any like place in this family. That's why you keep leaving him too, because y'all don't care about Kevin. I really think we should investigate the parents.
I do too.
Literally no one cares. Like at one point at the very end of the movie when the mom is like running around New York trying to find Kevin, my husband was like, literally no one else cares about where he is. They're all just sitting back at the hotel. Like, leave Tommy. Leave one person at the hotel just in case for some reason he ends up there. Send everyone else out looking. Like, tag team this thing.
Yeah, exactly.
The parents and the oldest kids. I don't think that... I don't think that Kevin's little cousin.
Oh, Fuller can go fuck himself. Fuller, who is like little Roman Roy, right? Drinking his fucking Cokes all day long, Tommy. Is he? He's trying to wet the bed, this little fucker.
He wants, like, that's his game plan. They even said, like, oh, we don't have rubber. He's like, challenge accepted. I will wet the bed, even with, like... Like, that's how it came up. Yeah, the whole family seems to not care at all that he was missing. And it's like, they're honestly just like, he's ruining our vacation. Grumpy, grumpy, grumpy. It's like, all right, he's a kid in the city by himself. Maybe put that aside for a second. He's a terrified kid. I mean, he's not as terrified. He's having a great time. But they don't know that. And like, the mom in the beginning with Buzz, like, she not only like put it back on Kevin and then put last year's back on Kevin, like had to remind him and be like, you know what? This is just like last year. You thought you were mistreated, but really it was all in your head. It's like, no, we watched it.
What in the world is this gaslighting? Like she's legitimately like, you ruined Christmas last year. Don't ruin Christmas this year. It's all your fault. It's like, you forgot him. You forgot him.
It's your fault.
And this he was home alone.
I will say, this time, part of it is Kevin's fault. Only a small part of it. And it's simply because he literally, they're trying to run to the gate because this dumb fuck unplugs his alarm clock and no one seems to notice.
Yeah.
And they're
running. And nobody else is responsible for wake-up calls. And nobody wakes up.
People? There's like 12 people and not a single person is waking up early in the morning. You people are old as fuck. I am 30 and I can tell you there's no way I'm sleeping in that late. It's not happening. It's not happening.
It's true.
Also, but yeah, he's running through. A lot of trust on the dad. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he keeps unplugging the alarm clock. You know, like, the dad was the one who did it, I believe.
And yeah, so
like,
get a goddamn battery backup. What are you doing?
Right. Like, why? Y'all are mad at Kevin, but you definitely are running late because of your piss poor preparation. Yes. I will give them last year. Last year, Kevin was badass kid. And so a lot of this was on Kevin's plate. This year, like I said, just a tiny bit of it is on Kevin because he does get distracted in the airport. But if you have an 11-year-old who is prone to getting lost, he should never leave your eyesight. Ma'am,
everybody grab hands.
To the plane. Exactly. And you get on the plane and you don't see him. Yet that is your child. There are other kids here. Let them, their parents can deal with them.
You know what I got to say? And this is the same as last year. Fuck Uncle Frank. Uncle Frank fucking sucks. Why is he invited back? I'm pretty sure. Is his kid Fuller? Because that would make a whole lot of sense if his kid's Fuller. That guy sucks. The only good thing he gave us was when Kevin is in the bathroom and he has that little like talk boy toy thing and he records him like, get out of here, you pervert, or I'll slap you silly. Like, that's literally the only good thing Uncle Frank is giving us.
Yeah.
Is that a good thing?
Well, it's funny.
He just wants to get his tie.
Yeah.
He was recording him singing. So
yeah. Well, that's the only reason I know that song, for one. You know, like that song is put on the map by Uncle Frank. So I give him that. But also that toy, that the recorder was such a big deal in the 90s. Like I remember it took over. Like Kevin did so much for the toy industry just with this movie because I was like, everybody wanted that recorder. There were like McDonald's versions of that recorder around. I wanted one. I definitely didn't get one. But I remember going to like Toys R Us and playing with other people's shit. You know what I'm saying? Like I was like recording people and then leaving it there. But, yeah. Such an iconic gift.
The old IMDb thing said that toy was not a thing up until Home Alone 2. And then they made a talk boy. Is that what it is?
Talk boy and a talk girl. Yeah.
Tommy, is this on your Christmas list this year to get a talk boy?
You know, it just happened to miss the cut on the Christmas list this year. But in the 90s, I definitely had a recorder, would do like fake radio shows. I would record songs and then record little like announcing voices to it. It was not good, but.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, I was very focused on the hit clips, but I did not have a talk boy.
Is hit clips the little those teeny tiny little things that you would put in and it would play like a single song from a CD or something?
It was like 30 seconds from a song. It was literally a hunk of junk, but
yeah,
who doesn't those were like a thing though clips? Yeah, they were a thing.
But yeah, like honestly, I also agree with Kevin. Like, I don't want to go to Miami for freaking so because they're in Chicago and they're leaving Chicago to go to Miami for Christmas, and Kevin's not into it, and neither am I. But Kevin's dream comes true, and he ends up on a plane to New York City because he follows some rando on the plane, and the freaking lady doesn't even follow up and make sure that that's actually Kevin's dad. But that's neither here nor there. This would never happen in a post 9/11 era, but like, you know, back then it is realistic. Like the way they do it is very realistic that, like, he bumps into the lady, all the tickets go flying, he's the kid, the plane is about to leave. Like, okay, it kind of makes sense. He says, oh, hey, I see my dad. Okay, great. Go find a seat. Sit down,
yeah,
kid.
Like, go find a seat. I mean, not even what is your seat number. Just go find an open seat.
Well, I mean, Southwest doesn't have assigned seats. Not they were driving. They were doing American Airlines. But
what do you mean?
Southwest.
You've never been on a Southwest plane?
You just fly by like boarding group. So if you're in the first boarding group, you just go sit down wherever you
just
sit.
Find a seat.
Yeah, it's
how
Wild
have
Wild
you
West.
Never flown Southwest before?
I mean,
it's like the cheapest way to fly, even though it's also like one of the more shitty ways to fly.
But just,
where you want to go?
You know, you've known me for 3 years. I've gone on like 1.5 trips. So,
I mean, but to be fair, you started during the pandemic, so that's not really like an indictment
exactly.
or anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, I, for one, disagree with Kevin. Like, I'm trying to get to Miami every time the weather drops below 72. You know, I'm sorry. Christmas in Miami just sounds like heaven. But I have a question. Do y'all think that this was feasible back then? Like, did people's kids ever get on the wrong flight? Because we know it's virtually impossible now. But is there a world where someone's family goes this direction and their kid goes a different direction pre-9/11?
I don't know.
I feel like the way they do it is believable, right? Like, if he had showed up with just his ticket, like, obviously it says he should be going to Miami. But being that he smashes into the lady, all the tickets go flying. He is telling her, my dad got on that flight. And, like, Tommy, by the time they get on the plane, like, he's like, yeah, that's my dad. And this woman is just trying to get this plane off on time, you know?
Yeah, it's clear she definitely just wanted to. It was, like, real late, you know? He was the last person to get on. So it's like, all right, we just need to get this plane going. But I agree. I don't think it happened often, but this was the one scenario, you know, in the multiverse of scenarios, this is the one scenario that would work where you got to hit the ticket, knock them all over, rush in. And happen to have a guy with the same code as your dad, too.
And you're also banking on there being an open seat on this plane.
That's true.
So it was American Airlines.
Yeah, it was American Airlines.
They have a policy now that kids 5 to 14 can fly alone without unaccompanied. So getting on the plane is possible. I wonder...
There's just no way you'd be able to board in this situation without figuring out the ticket situation. Like, that's just not happening.
You get charged an extra $150 to get babysat.
I was just going to say, because they're babysitting your kid. That's why.
Yeah. When you get boarded early. I'm in a boarding class 5 or the last one, and it's really freaking embarrassing. So if they get to pre-board, then I'm very jealous.
Literally the only reason to have a kid is to get to board early on planes, because
they always get
to board right
snacks.
Away.
Yeah, I'm literally always in the last boarding group. And I don't think I've ever not been in like 7
Really?
Or
you
later.
Don't like do yeah. it because 24 hours before you could check in and then you could try to get... You never
yeah,
do.
But I'm like the person who's like, oh, 24 hours, I can check in. But like at 24 hours and like 45 minutes, I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot to check in. And then by then it's like, yeah, of course, all the seats are gone and I'm in the last boarding group. Yeah, that's always my story.
I think you guys stumbled on something, though. Business idea. You could rent a kid for airlines to get in that early check-in. You go with an unaccompanied minor. You become their babysitter for the flight.
Okay.
But you get to go on to that pre-check.
I don't want to babysit, though.
Do I get their
terrible.
Snacks, though? They get extra
you get
snacks.
Snacks. And you get paid for it. It'd be like babysitting. So it's like it's your job.
So do I get the $150 instead of American Airlines?
Yeah.
I would do it.
Yeah, undercut them. Yeah, Americans charging $150. You say, okay, for $50, I will watch your kid. Because, I mean, on a plane, what do you have to watch them do? They just sit there.
Exactly. And,
so like,
and they get...
I
feel like I would only want to do it if the kid was like 12 or 13, though, because then they're probably at the stage where they're just on like a tablet or like their phone the whole time, versus like a kid that's like younger than that is going to want to talk with me. And I don't
know. Why would
talk.
You want to hang out with a 12-year-old? They're just watching you and judging you the whole time.
No, they're watching their phone and judging their phone
the whole
time.
Probably like your outfit's ugly, your hair is dumb. Like they're 12. Why would you want to hang out with a middle schooler?
And to be fair, kids these days are on their tablets at the age of 5. You know, they're on their tablets watching YouTube, and they are not worried about you at all on a plane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank goodness he did end up in New York, though, because he seems to be very familiar with New York, especially the Plaza Hotel. So,
well, yeah, he saw the commercial and he was like, hell yeah, that looks legit. Yeah. And somehow Kevin knew what they were going to ask his dad. And he thought it would be okay to do like a voice modulator on his own voice. And it sounds horrifying. I don't understand how the woman who took like that call wasn't immediately like, is there a serial killer coming to our hotel? Like, this guy sounds terrifying.
Hey, he's doing the work. But yeah, it is horrifying.
Yeah. I like that he came up with the plan. It's so innovative, right? Like, he's like, I will record, because he already was walking around with like ammo of like, he already had a soundboard, right? He had Uncle Frank, he had a couple other things recorded on there. But he had the common sense to say, okay, these are the questions they're gonna ask me. His mom was shocked that he knew how to use a credit card. No, I'm shocked that 11-year-old knew how to make a reservation at a hotel in general. Yeah. And then to also know that they're gonna eventually ask me for my credit card information and identification at some point. Like, he had it all figured out. That's a smart kid.
Oh yeah, he's a baby genius. He's very impressive.
He knew everything. Like, it wasn't even just that he knew all of those things, but I felt like he was able to sell all of these lies. Like, he was able to lie instantly without really needing to have any plans of it, right, Tommy? He's just like, oh, my dad is a businessman. Oh, there was a meeting. Like, why weren't you in the meeting? Oh, they're boring. I wanted to come here. Like, they just flowed right off his tongue so easily.
Yeah, he had everything, like, perfectly planned out. And that's why, like, the Tim Curry character, why he became so sus of him. I'm like, I don't know. This seems to check out. Like, I wouldn't think twice about Kevin's lie. Like, I would let him stay in the hotel. It'd be fine.
Tim Curry had a vendetta against Kevin instantly. He saw that kid and he was like, that little fucker. And then the Rob Schneider character, not for nothing. Again, I tip like the hotel staff and everything, but like, why is he doing the like money symbol at everybody? You know what
tacky.
I mean? Like,
so tacky.
It is. It's, and especially you're at a hotel that you have to wear gloves to be that guy. Then you shouldn't be doing the tacky thing of this thing, you know, with the hands. Don't do that.
I feel like that would give me the opposite effect. If you're doing the little finger movements, then that's like $10 off your tip every day.
Mm-hmm. Although Buzz gave him used gum, which was one of the grossest things I've ever seen.
That was disgusting. Yeah. Tim Curry was extremely suspicious. At first, I didn't understand. I guess he just really doesn't like minors in his hotel, because I thought that he was trying to steal money from him or jewelry or whatever.
Well, but I think he said to Rob Schneider, like, look, find out who this kid is or what he's up to.
Yeah, and so because he has problems with people breaking the rules, not because he doesn't like unaccompanied minors, not because he wanted to take anything from him.
I think he's a hotel hero. Like, he's like, this is his job, so he's got to do it at the peak ability, and he gets a thrill from catching criminals is, I think, what I got out of him.
Number one concierge at the Plaza Hotel.
I was going to ask, like, is his job, like, oh, yeah, he is a concierge. So, to me, I was like, is he paid enough to care this much about this little kid in the hotel, you know?
No, they just be thinking like, you know, like, I'm going to be super saver person today. And I this is my goal. Like, I guess being a concierge is damn boring, because now all of a sudden he's got like a task for the day. Leave that kid alone. I am someone who has been confronted at a hotel by the concierge before, because I was black. But anyway, the point is, they confronted me like, are you at this hotel? Like, do you have a room here? Because I was in the pool. I was like, yes, I do. Well, can you show me the rule? Okay, I will. But after that, you need to go get your manager immediately.
Yes,
like,
you better.
We will walk to that desk, and then I'm going to stand there until we get to the bottom of all of this. So yeah, sometimes I just hate an overzealous like concierge person, or, you know, just do your job, sir.
Yeah, because I was, especially because it's like, it's New York City around Christmas time. You have a lot of time to dedicate to like stalking this little kid around.
Your job is to make recommendations on where to go, of what shows to see and what food places to go to. Your job is to order cars and limousines. Your job is not to monitor me and to see if I should be at this hotel or not, sir.
And regardless, like, if they found out, like, it is, you know, he did steal the credit card, clearly this kid is in trouble then. Like, be more concerned about that than, like, calling him a criminal. It's like, clearly
he's an unaccompanied minor. Like, that should be your concern.
And also, he has, like, bags of cash. So even if the credit card is stolen, he can just hand over the stinking cash to pay for the hotel room.
Yeah.
How about you call the police, Tim Curry? How about you call the cops? You know, like, this is not your job. Just be like, I think there's a stolen credit card. Could you come and look into it? I don't understand. But no, he's got his cape on.
I'm very curious to know, too, like, what you all, like, think of, like, what is the first thing you think of when you think of Tim Curry? Like, what show or movie or something do you think of? Because I have one, and I'm like, I feel like it feels unpopular, like, what I remember him from the most.
Yeah.
And it's anytime I hear his voice, I think of Nigel Thornberry.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that, but being a person that grew up in the 90s, I think that's an excellent answer. Yeah. For me personally, it's Rocky Horror.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my husband said his was Clue, which I could also see. Like, Clue is a big one.
Fair.
But Tommy, what about you? What do you think of?
Both of yours, Nigel or Rocky, is like the two I think of first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels right. It's because he talks, and I'm just like, oh my God, it's Nigel Thornberry.
Like, well, Nigel's just such an iconic, very iconic voice.
Yeah.
I'm Nigel Thornberry.
So he's a bit
okay. Here we go. I found the plaza, what they are equipped to assist on their website.
They're doing the research.
Okay.
On the
okay. So they can assist guests in assessing the best of New York's events and attractions, including restaurant reservations, theater tickets, concert passes, and sporting events.
Okay.
That's part of their job. They can advise on restaurants, nightlife, sporting, theater, sightseeing, shopping. It says nothing about if kids are allowed to hang out in there or not. It also talks about how they have a two pet policy, so you can bring two pets.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, Asia can bring both Cinnamon and Pepper.
There you go.
To the Plaza Hotel.
Kevin is hopping and bopping all over New York City, like we talked about. Like, he goes everywhere. I'm like, he had to have gotten a ton of cabs. I mean, he has like plenty of money to get cabs, but yeah. I'm like, he was all over the city, and he ends up at this toy store, which is obviously based on FAO Schwartz. Like, there's, you know, it's not a real, like, Dunkin's is not a real toy store. But I, like, as a kid, Chappelle, watching this scene, it was just like, oh my God, I want to go there.
Yeah. The first time I ever went to New York as a 29-year-old, I went directly to that store. You know, like, it was on my list of things that I needed to do. I'm sorry. It's like, yeah. I know New York from television. So everything that I've seen on TV and movies has to happen in this one trip. I was only there for like, I don't know, 18 hours, and I accomplished all of my goals. I saw everything that's ever been televised and put on a movie. This was incredible. And, you know, I like toy stores in general when I was a kid. Like, that was a thing. But also, it was a Christmas toy store at that point. You know, like, all the things were so Christmassy, and it was so much fun to see him this way. But did we breeze past the point that he ran into the future president of the United States, Donald Trump?
Was that intentional?
I just hated it.
I will say that I thought going into it, the cameo was going to be longer and, you know, much harder to fathom, but it wasn't that long of a cameo.
I was hoping they had cut it out, honestly.
Why would they cut it out on Disney
Plus? Because I wanted Dick Juice there, because I wanted them to be like, you know what? Fuck you, and cut it out. That's what I was hoping for.
Yeah. I think I read somewhere, it's like they were filmed in his hotel, so they requested... Or he requested that he cameo in it or something like that. But I could have done without it.
Yeah, no one needs this. But I love Kevin, like, meeting Mr. Duncan, who's like running the cash register, and he owns the place, and he's going to like donate the day's sales to Children's Hospital. And Kevin is such a little sweetheart. And he makes a donation, and he's like, don't worry, I have some money, I can pay my mom back, but these kids need it more. And Mr. Duncan is such a sweetheart. He's like, here, have these ceramic turtle doves, which, like, I would legitimately hang these on my Christmas tree. They're, like, not at all kids' ornaments. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're not, like, what you would give a kid as a Christmas ornament. But they're so beautiful. And he's just like, it means eternal friendship. Like, I just loved this part of the movie. I thought it was so cute.
I was kind of annoyed because he said to Kevin, you can pick any ornament on this tree, anyone you want. And then as soon as he said that, he was like, but here, this is the one that you should take. It's the two turtle doves. And I was like, sir, Mr. Duncan, you just said that I can have anyone on the tree. Right, Tommy?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Like, it'd be like going to a restaurant and be like, you can have anything on the menu, but you have to order the meatloaf sandwich.
He's Look giving his recommendation.
No, but he literally, it wasn't that, Jess. It was like, you can take anything, but you have to take this one.
He was trying to teach the kid a goddamn life lesson. This kid is alone in a toy store and needs some life lessons.
No.
Turtle doves.
Yeah, you have to take the turtle doves. There's no other options.
I think Duncan just wanted to get rid of the turtle doves. Like, it was his least favorite ornament. So he's like, here.
No. Yeah, I feel like they would be a good seller because, like, literally you could give some, you know, what if you, like, you're in a long distance relationship or, like, you move away from home, you give one person one turtle dove and you keep the other. It's very cute. How am I the one who's, like, romanticizing this right now?
We're just like, no.
I want options.
Yeah, we do like options here. Yeah, you know, that were there other 12 days of Christmas
exactly.
that we could have gotten, you know, like, were the three per chance unavailable? Yeah, where was the partridge and or pear tree? You know, like, I have to take the turtle doves. I don't know. I'm not buying it.
Yeah,
five golden rings is going to look like the goddamn Olympic symbol. Like, no one wants that.
If I want the golden rings, then I want to take the golden rings.
Yeah.
I don't want to be stuck with the turtle doves unless I'm really set on them.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With sweetheart Kevin, I did want to mention earlier, I think at the hotel earlier, he asked for consent to do a cannonball, which I appreciate. A kid that is out there thinking about other people, like, that's so nice. No kid has ever asked for consent for jumping in a cannonball when I've been near a pool.
And he needs to get so that his parents need to buy him a new bathing suit because it freaking flew right on off in a cannonball.
Yeah, it was the biggest shorts ever. I was just like, whose clothes are you wearing? Buzz's clothes? Are these Buzz's shorts?
How did he get these? Because his bag was with his family.
I feel like it had to be like a pair of bathing suit that was in his dad's backpack, right?
Who keeps a bathing suit in their carry-on?
Unless he stole it from, maybe there's a scene where, like, he went to the laundry room and stole somebody's swim briefs. he's a little criminal.
No, but he has that. I mean, credit card fraud, yes, but I don't think we've seen him steal. So I think he probably ordered them at the concierge to go pick them up.
The first film when he got a toothbrush and he took it, but he put money on the register for it before he left. This kid is not a criminal. He's a good kid.
White collar crimes only.
White collar crimes only. There are no.
Oh, okay. So he is in tax fraud, but he's not.
They're victimless crimes
or like steal money from a bank.
No, in fact, he's preventing crimes later in the film. So
right, look at him.
I just don't like a vigilante shit. You know
what's wrong with you? What?
Like, I appreciate Batman as a Christmas movie, but we do have problems with his tactics sometimes. Vigilante is illegal. It is.
Yeah, it's not all it's not his sole responsibility to save the world.
Kevin is just trying his best. He is, you know.
I think that my favorite part of the movie was when he was trolling around in the Plaza Hotel.
Yeah.
That's your favorite part? Yeah. I mean, did you see the bowl of ice cream he was eating? Like, literally, it was as big as my head. And you would die. Like, I'm pretty sure you would die.
Did he have to pay extra for the scooper? Like, the guy was just there for the ice cream.
Yeah. The room service guy, he's like, no, don't go. Don't leave. Just
more scoops, please.
I did notice, though, Kevin is so polite and respectful to literally everyone outside of his family. I mean, if he meets a random person, he, excuse me, miss, da, 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 da. He meets the pigeon lady eventually. Yeah. He has a very like he apologizes for being terrified of her. Like, he has a very respectful conversation in the first movie with the snow shoveling guy. Yeah. Everybody but his parents he can be respectful to. It's because his family sucks. I'm starting to see a pattern here.
Yeah. I mean, very, very, very true.
Yeah, he's a good little kid, and he's just minding his beeswax, like, buying stuff at the store, walks outside, and the freaking wet bandits have somehow escaped prison. I would have liked to see that side quest, because, like, how these two morons, it was a fluke. Like, we all know it was a fluke, and, like, somehow they were left unattended, and they just, like, literally walked out or something. Like, there's no way these morons are getting out of prison without some serious fluke stuff.
A more of an explanation would be nice. I did see while they were leaving, it was one of those things where there was this like fake paper that blew into the camera, and there was a news article about it, so we knew that they did escape. But I don't know, were they cleaning cells and they escaped? Do you remember? Oh no, he froze.
Yeah, I don't think he.
I was like, he really doesn't want to answer this question.
he was in deep thought.
Oh, you there,
Tommy?
I'll throw it to you again. Can you hear us?
I don't think he's back.
Listen. Oh, he's back. His eyes are moving. Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Okay, I'm going to throw it to you again about the newspaper.
Okay. Yeah, it froze right when you said Tommy. I'm like, that always happens.
Tommy, did you see how they escaped? Because it was in the newspaper, but I can't remember.
I don't think I didn't notice, but I'd have to say they like, it has to be something with the wetness. Maybe they like got a really soggy floor, the guard slipped, the key went flying, they grabbed the key and they ran out of there.
I literally took a sip of my drink when Tommy says it had to do with the wet.
Or was it the sticky? They did decide to have a rebrand and is it because if they go by the wet bandits, then people are going to know it's them. But if they stick to the sticky bandits, then be like, oh, it's a different crime couple. It's totally different.
Okay. So I have a copy of the Chicago Sun-Times. Okay. Don't judge me.
Perfect.
And it literally says wet bandits escaped during prison riot. Okay.
During a prison riot. See, it was kind of a fluke.
Ooh. Yeah, they got out in a good time. But yeah, I have the whole article right here. There's a local manhunt ensuing. I believe they talked about a $312,000 fine. There's a lot going on here. Wow. But yes, it's definitely all in the Chicago Sun-Times.
What episode of Orange is the New Black is this?
Also, the thing is, I feel like we're all very lucky they don't have an origin story movie about Harry and Marv. I could see that very easily being a thing, but like, they have to have been like lifelong friends or something, because how the fuck is Harry putting up with Marv for this long? Where literally this man wraps his hand in tape and stuffs it into one of those little charity bins that has coins in it. You're about to get arrested for stealing a dollar, my friend. Like, what kind of moron are you, truly?
Yes.
Team Marv still.
Are we Team Marv?
No, Marv is a moron.
Team Marv.
Yeah, I don't know. Marv has had way too many concussions. Way too many.
I mean, that's very true.
Yeah, I'm sure his motor skills are being affected at this point. Like, I don't know if he was always an idiot, but after the seventh or eighth brick that he got hit with in this movie, I'm sure
and
the man
electrocution?
Is not okay.
And he turned into a skeleton.
Yeah, like, it's the poor Marv. He's going through. I feel for Marv, but I don't know if I'm Team Marv.
Yeah,
Marv is terrible.
I thought that we were more on Marv's side last time.
Maybe we were, but now I'm not, because the sticky thing is so stupid.
No, like, I think it's really smart.
How many things does he just grab off of randos throughout this film?
I mean, if he's having issues with fine motor skills, then it's really all, like, he needs it.
He's kind of a victim, in a way.
He needs those things he stole.
He does. And number one, I mean, once again, everybody who goes to New York, you leave Penn Station, you go everywhere, and it's the, you know, Salvation Army guys with their Santa hats and their bells and their red buckets. They're everywhere. And I know it goes to a good cause, but you know, they're so annoying. Maybe we do need like a little sticky hand taking sticky money.
Saying we should steal from charity.
Steal from the Salvation Army. You heard it here first.
This is why they put those tops on them now with just a little slit for the coins because of the sticky hand.
And a lock. Yeah, and a padlock. I volunteer with the Salvation Army every year to do this kind of thing at the outside of the mall here in town. And I mean, it's locked down. Like, you cannot just reach your hand in there. I don't think I've ever actually touched the money. Like,
Sticky Bandits ruined it for everybody.
They did, yeah.
Yeah. Plus, probably that Friends episode where, like, people are throwing, like, cigarettes and coffee in the Salvation Army bin. Like, they're nasty people in the world. So Kevin gets grabbed by the Wet Bandits. Meanwhile, his family finally fucking notices he's missing after landing, not even just after they get off the plane. They're at baggage claim. Tommy, it took them until baggage claim to realize their child was missing.
Yeah, like, that made no sense. Again, from the beginning, we said it. The dad should have been the caboose. Like, how you let a kid be the last person in this and then not noticing the entire plane ride? You didn't check on him once and be like, oh, is all the kids okay? Let me check to make sure everyone's... No. And then even then, the dad didn't even realize it until the mom figured it out. Literally, they hand the bag to him. He says it. Doesn't even clock that Kevin's not there.
Yeah. Also, it's wild to me that the dad didn't notice his wallet was missing in all that time as well. Like, not the kid. I mean, let alone the kid, but also his wallet. It's kind of wild. And so finally, they notice. Kevin has the brilliant idea to go to his uncle's townhouse. Like, he has his address. And so he goes there, but it's like totally vacant, undergoing renovations. That is going to be where all the shenanigans are going to take place later. And then he finds Pigeon Lady, who like takes him to Carnegie Hall. I was like, this bitch, she got high class taste.
How does she? So she hangs out in the attic with a bunch of old instruments.
And
is
pigeons.
Is this in the pigeon? The pigeons. Is this where she lives? I don't understand.
I thought she was homeless, but well,
I feel like if you have access to the attic of Carnegie Hall, you're supposed to live there, right? Like, I mean, it might get noisy, but at least it's not 30 degrees in New York. You know,
it's wild to me that there's not pigeon shit everywhere. Like, you're hanging out with pigeons all the time, you're gonna get shit on.
Have you heard the conspiracy theory about the Pigeon Lady's true identity?
No.
Is she
a father fairy godmother?
No, there's a wild rumor on the internet that none other than Piers Morgan plays the Pigeon Lady. And this is widely discussed because I just sent you a link. You can see a comparison of the two. And there is a resemblance, and apparently Piers Morgan knows about this and
I'm
has
sure
denied
so
the accusations that he played the Pigeon Lady.
Very funny.
Can we
justice for the Pigeon Lady? Because Piers Morgan sucks. The Pigeon Lady seems like a nice lady.
<Does suck>. Yeah.
This has been like an ongoing bit for like 10 years now. And once again, like, I was watching Home Alone 2 and like Drew was like kept calling the Pigeon Lady Piers Morgan.
No.
And then I was like, what are you talking about? And then he told me this. And apparently it is a raging rumor. And Piers Morgan does not like being called the Pigeon Lady.
Oh, no, that's so awful. But she's so nice to Kevin. She like brings him to Carnegie Hall and he's like, why don't you have any friends? And she goes on and on about how she gives him like far too much information for this poor little 10-year-old. She's just like, oh, well, I had like I was dating someone and they like left me. And so now she has like trust issues. And so
yeah,
she doesn't
have
any
trauma dumping.
Yeah.
What?
It's trauma dumping.
Like, I've never heard someone, of this before.
Yeah, Jess, it's like when someone asks you about will you ask someone about their day? And they're just like, oh my God, they tell you about all the horrible things that happened. Like, I just wanted to know how you were doing this morning. Like, all you had to do was say fine and move on.
Oh, I thought you meant trauma dumping, like her boyfriend dumped her and it was because
of traumatic.
I see.
No,
you're saying the trauma dumping in terms of like she dumped all her trauma onto Kevin.
Onto Kevin, who's just a 10-year-old and is just trying to do his best.
I mean, you know what though? If I'm Pigeon Lady and I literally have like no one to talk to and like a 10-year-old kid is like, hey, how you doing? Maybe I'm trauma dumping too, you know? Like she literally only has pigeons to talk to.
Well, that seems like a her problem.
He's the one being like a little therapist. He's like, tell me more about that. Like, he's giving her real advice and everything. I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah. Man.
Tommy, who's a better therapist, the pigeons or Kevin?
I think the pigeons.
Justin's for the pigeons.
You know, they were in it for the long haul. Kevin comes and he's going to leave.
Yeah.
He's not going to be there for the support.
Pro pidge?
I think so. I've never had a pigeon do me wrong.
Okay, so I remember one time when I was a kid, my sister was like super young, and we went to, it was a double header. First, we went to the Rockefeller Christmas Spectacular, whatever. And then we went to go see Phantom of the Opera. And I remember standing on the Tix line, and the pigeons started to walk towards my sister Miranda. And she, as a child, was screaming on the top of the lungs. She was terrified of the pigeons. And they were following her, and she was very emotional.
I think it's the eyes, right? Because, like, pigeons have wonky-ass eyes, and sometimes one will stare in one direction and one will stand in another, and then they do the thing where they stare at you and then they tilt your head, and you're like, are they going to fucking peck me to death? Like, you don't know.
Do I hear this other conspiracy? What do you think about the pigeons are all robots?
What?
Not in 1992.
Not in 1992. Those were authentic pigeons.
Had to be. What did y'all think about the advice that Kevin gave her? Do y'all even remember what he was talking about?
What was he saying? He said she was saying that she didn't want to get her heartbreak again.
And he says, you know, I had a nice pair of rollerblades. I was afraid to wreck them, so I kept them in a box. And he just goes on this long, like, soliloquy about, like, how he outgrew the skates because he barely even used them. And a person's heart and feelings are very different than skates, but they're kind of the same. I was like, okay, you're 11 years old. Like, stop talking to me.
So you think that the pigeons would give better advice, too, then?
It would be a low bar because I just don't understand
the pigeons aren't
going
to talk back, so they're just very good listeners.
Right. Mm. Okay. I see what he's saying. He says, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. So if you don't use your heart, then you're going to lose your heart. It's going to be too far gone. You're going to be alone forever. You're never going to use your ice skates or your roller skates. So you better start trying with people again. And I think that that's good advice for people that are afraid to get hurt after getting hurt and don't want to get into relationships again.
Wait, so you do agree? You agree with the 11-year-old that if you don't use your heart, you'll lose your heart?
Just trying to justify
just
it.
Stop beating.
I think it's kind of like the Wayne Gretzky quote of, like, you miss 100% of the shots. You don't take. Like, it's like Wayne Gretzky. But it's kind of like that, though, right? Because it's like, if you don't ever use your skates, then you're missing out on all those great memories skating. And same with the heart, you're missing out on all the opportunities. I kind of see it, but I agree.
He's 10. Like, what kind of advice do we expect him to be giving?
He plays all these mousetrap traps. I don't know.
Some people are good at some things and not good at others. Kevin, excellent trap setter.
Emotionally intelligent. Not emotionally intelligent, but he is good at trapping criminals.
Exactly. And so he realizes, you know what? I should probably do a good deed. And so... he knows, like, oh, Mr. Duncan is planning on, like, donating all this money to the hospital, except Harry and Marv. Frickin' Marv spills the beans in front of Kevin. Like, he's just, like, telling him, like, bragging all about their plans. And so Kevin is like, you know what? It's time. I'm gonna pay these two fuckers back. And he starts going to town on the townhouse, setting everything up, getting all these booby traps laid. And then while Harry and Marv are robbing the store, he, like, breaks the window to set off the alarm and takes their picture to get them, like, basically to follow him, which I felt like, couldn't he have just called the police and been like, hey, there's two bozos that are planning on robbing this place tonight?
Yeah, he's a vigilante. That's what he does. He's taking matters into his own hands. He's basically the same as the concierge. He's a young Tim Curry. You know, one day he will grow up and mind other people's business.
Yeah.
I also think that it was a waste of time for Harry and Marv to follow Kevin because they were talking about leaving the country. But they, so even if Kevin had the photo of them and was going to go to the police with it, they were still planning on leaving the country. Following Kevin was just a recipe for disaster.
Mm-hmm. You don't think there was cameras in the store already? It's like, yeah, like you're already exposed. Just get out of there. Just go into hiding. That's what you need to do. Don't chase down this kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're escaped convicts. They're already on the run. You know, like what else could, like, is he going to make you more wanted? Like, oh, they were wanted for breaking out of jail and also doing home invasions. But now they're even more wanted for stealing from Christmas. Like, all right, you got me, Kevin. I'm a thief. I think everybody knows.
Yeah, hop on the plane, go to Amsterdam, live your best life. Just forget about it.
It was about revenge. That's ultimately what it was about. Well, they saw their little kid and they just remember all the concussions they got before they went to prison last time. And just trying to pay him back.
It was all about revenge because they're like, we want to kill this kid. And also, I should say, the wiki for this movie is so funny because this is how they describe Kevin, a rambunctious 10-year-old boy with a penchant for creating harmful inventions. And then they have Harry, a short, hot-tempered thief, and Marv, a tall, dim-witted thief. What reads on the thieves? But yeah, he lures them to the townhouse and like, oh my gosh, these, so I don't know if we, Sarah, do you have a, like, which set of booby traps do you like better? Do you prefer, like, movie one's, like, booby traps or this movie's booby traps? There are some similarities.
Lots of similarities. I still think the best one I've seen was when Kevin created that whole party plan where it was, a lot of different, I don't,
he's
were
like
they
pulling
mannequins?
Strings. He's like, there was, he put was it a Michael Jordan, like, what is it called? A cardboard cutout, like on a race car or train or something going in circles. We got a little bit of that with the blow up clown in the shower, which is very fun.
Yeah. So I think that, aside from that, I think it was mostly the same. I do think that Home Alone 1 had more infamous ones, like, but it was similar. Like Chappelle was saying earlier, lots of brick action, lots of paint buckets,
a lot of head injuries,
tons of head injuries. And then, if you remember, the one that we felt like was the most like egregious last time was the nail in the foot.
I hated that one.
Yeah, exactly. We got a staple gun in the face, but I still
in the butt.
Ass. Yeah.
But I still think the nail in the foot is somehow worse.
Same.
I agree, Tommy. I think my favorite though one of this movie is because he did the paint cans to the face last time on the stairs. They knew it was coming, and so then they're like playing it off like they got hit, and then they're like, okay, let's go, that was two of them. And then he drops this whole ass bar down and not only smacks him in the face with it, which makes him go through two levels of house, but then cuts the rope on it so it falls on them after.
Yep, I was gonna see that one too. It was a classic because it's like, oh, they think it's over. Just you wait, you sticky bandits. But I do think I think the feedback they got after the first movie was like, oh, kids love physical, do more of the physical traps. So I feel like that's why we got so many of the like knocking them down type things in this one.
A lot of that, a lot of slip sliding on the floor, a lot of paint cans, so many paint cans in this house. The electrocution was like the most extra, I think, of all of them. Because we get like, he turns into a skeleton, his hair like flips out. But like, honestly, besides the head injuries, these men's backs must be just like, honestly, so messed up at this point.
Yeah.
They've fallen from like three stories, two stories. They just continuously falling. But y'all, my favorite prank will always be anything involving that damn movie, The Angels with Even Filthier Souls.
What he did
in that hotel. I love that movie. I told you, when I was a kid, I thought that was a real movie. I could not wait
we
to find
did.
It.
We all did. Yes.
I only to grow up to find out that not only was the first movie fake, but this is the sequel to a fake movie. I was pissed. I was like, I thought at least it was the same movie. Nope. They created a fake sequel as well just to hurt me.
That was good. That was really good. And Kevin was able to time it perfectly, which is, you know, so perfect and entertaining. And then, of course, you get the Merry Christmas, you filthy animals, which I think is one of those lines that are still super infamous, and
it's on Christmas shirts everywhere still. Yeah, like that, people say it all the time.
Yeah, I didn't
and
realize
a happy new year.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. And also there's the main song that was playing throughout this movie, the do 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 do, that I didn't realize was from this movie. And I also because it's a TikTok sound, but they have it warped a little bit where it's just like sloppy a little. So I didn't realize it was
because
from this.
Will had pointed this out when we were watching it, and it didn't dawn on me at the time because I was like, oh my God, the score of this movie is like so amazing. Like, it's iconic. Yeah. It's John Williams.
Of
John
course,
Williams, yeah. Who's done Star Wars, Jaws, two different Jurassic Park films, Schindler's List, Indiana Jones. Like, this man is like, he is the soundtrack of our lives. Like, is every amazing film. It is him. And of course, like, then you hear, I don't know, the soundtrack to this is like, also, it's like Christmassy, but also kind of sad, but also kind of like joyous at times.
I mean, that's what Christmas is all about. I think that Auld Lang Syne is the most depressing song that I've ever heard of, the New Year song. Every single time I hear Auld Lang Syne, I literally want to drown myself in a frozen river. Is the saddest song in the galaxy. It's so sad. It just makes me so depressed.
You get depressed around New Year's Eve? It's supposed to be a time of rejoicing.
Cry like every New Year's. Is this like a me problem?
It sounds
like
a
revival. Pipe. Yeah, it's supposed to be like New Year. Maybe it's like it's like a goodbye to the last year. Oh no, sad times. But it's like a happy sad times.
Yeah, it's supposed to be.
So depressed because I'm just like, oh, like another year, like things, you know, I don't know. It's so weird. I hate, like, but that's the holidays, man. Like, that's what happens.
I mean, yeah, I just say, like, the score of this film, I think they hit all the right notes when Kevin is like sad and missing his family and like lost and, you know, all of that, like they hit the right notes. When it's like joyous, they hit the right notes. It's just like, it's so perfect. And obviously, like, I feel like all the actors involved in this are also so, so, so good. Like Harry and Marv, Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern, like knock it out of the park as Harry and Marv. Like, you hate them so much, but Tommy, there's something we've gotten away from as a society, I think, in general. And it's like, we really love to like dimensionalize our villains now, but there is something to be said about a villain that is just a pure villain that you can hate. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we need a little balance of both. Like, I love my villains that I can relate to, but it is fun to just have, like, you are a criminal. It is fine. Mm-hmm. This is who you are, and that is what they are. And, you know, I think this movie in general does that pretty well. Like, it's pretty tight, and, like, the music is all very thought out. And I was actually surprised on my rewatch of, like, the foreshadowing throughout. There is, like, tons of, like, oh, set up this thing that will come up later on here, like, very thought out writing in this movie.
Yeah, no, it is. And it's funny because some people would say like, oh, it's just like a remake of the first one. You know what I mean? Like, there are obviously elements because we have the same villains, we have the same main character, the same like situation ish but it is different in that way. I feel like the messaging is kind of the same, where it's like, appreciate your family and your friends, mm-hmm. and tell them you love them and blah, 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 blah. But it does have a different vibe at some points. I really love how much I hate Harry and Marv throughout this movie, and how much I'm rooting for them to lose.
I mean,
are they in the third one?
You know what? I don't know, because I haven't seen it, because it's trash. Whoa.
Fake Whoa. Ones, fake Harry and Marv, maybe. But they kind of got this. I mean, they almost got caught on fire by the rope. Mm-hmm. Right.
That was wild. Like, okay, so did Kevin climb down the rope that was covered in kerosene as well?
Absolutely, he did.
He did. Oh, he did.
Yeah. He did.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't worried about it getting cut on fire because nobody was down there to set on fire. Yeah. Oh, so I did. We had talked about Home Alone 3 just a little bit, but you know, I said it was in the news recently. It's because 25 years ago on December 12th, Home Alone 3 premiered in theaters. And although it got mixed reviews because it was not starring Macaulay Culkin, mm-hmm. the film would gross $79 million off a $32 million budget.
Damn! So,
wow. Underrated gem, Home Alone 3. I know what we're doing next Christmas, y'all, as a family.
Maybe that is the best Christmas movie, and we just didn't give it a chance.
Just didn't give it a chance. I think the rest of us were on the right side of history.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So then finally, after all this time, Kevin calls the police and says, meet me in Central Park. Look out for the fireworks.
Yeah. Will said the biggest inaccuracy of New York in this entire film was actually thinking the police would show up for this.
Oh, no. Yeah. The police literally don't give a shit.
That was the funniest thing. They're like, have better shit to do than listen to some kid's phone call.
On Christmas Eve, of course.
Yeah. So So he's about to get them over to Central Park, but of course he slips and falls on ice and they catch him. And for whatever reason, they must be taking him to Central Park to kill him, right? Because that's where everybody gets mm-hmm. killed. But they didn't expect Pigeon Lady to be there, and they're already covered in like a whole mess of other crap. And so she just, I love the sight of the bird seed just like whoo in the air. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. As a kid, if I saw someone feeding bread or something, I'd walk to the other side of the street because of this movie. I don't want bird seed thrown at me.
Tommy, is the guy with the shovel in the first movie scarier than the Pigeon Lady?
Yes, but like the birds, I think it's the fact that like I can't talk to the birds. I can't try to wiggle they just want the bird seed. They're not going to listen to my pleas for help.
They're hungry. They just want the seed.
Yeah, like maybe I can convince the shovel man. I can't convince the pigeons.
If you were the bird lady, you could.
Yeah.
So do I have to become the bird lady to avoid getting attacked by the...
Is this your future career? Is maybe being pigeon the pigeon man?
Yeah.
Like from Hey Arnold. Yeah, there was a pigeon man there.
Yeah, there was. Yeah.
It's a thing.
Maybe. I'm not opposed to it. Like, I could just give up my life now, become a pigeon man. I'll let Rebecca know. I'm out. I'm living my life as a pigeon man.
Will Rebecca be the pigeon lady to your pigeon man? And then you can both move into Carnegie Hall.
It's the mark of true love. If somebody's willing to be a pigeon lady with you, you know? That's how you know you found the one.
Maybe is she home?
Yeah.
Oh, ask me.
Go ask her. Go ask. Yeah, let's see. I mean, let's see if love is real.
Well, since we're talking about it, Sarah, go ask Drew. Jess, I'll wait.
Yeah, Will's not even home right now. I don't think he would join me.
I'll ask him.
Much of a bird person.
If I become the pigeon lady,
I'll message him and see what he says.
Would you probably gonna be a no. the pigeon man with me?
And Jess, tell Will if he decides to do it, I'll do it with him.
You'll become pigeon person too.
We can have our own little society of pigeon people.
Pigeon people.
What did Rebecca say, Tommy?
I got a quick response. It was sure .. Do I get free bread? So
she's a keeper.
She's a woman that loves the carb.
Yeah,
she's not afraid of the bread.
We love taste.
Okay, he read it, but he's. Not, I don't even have the three dots.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not answering. He's like, not doing question. Will saw mine, so we'll see how long it takes for him to reply.
Yeah. I guarantee you.
Oh, Will, he's typing. I already have the dots.
Yeah. Drew is fed up, Sarah.
He's so done with me.
Like, really, you fucker? I don't want to deal with this right
Sarah,
now.
How often do you ask similar questions to this?
Are what?
You
the type of I'm so Drew? Offended. So I said, if I became a pigeon lady, would you be my pigeon man with me? Chappelle said he'd join. And he says, if Chappelle is in, I'm there.
Yeah.
Am I Chuck Lipper over here?
You are. Indeed.
Rude.
Yeah. Yeah. No, not even the three dots. He is done. Done. Whatever.
Sarah, when was the last time you asked Drew a question similar to this? Are you like the would you love me if I was a slug?
Yeah, I give him a lot of questions like that. So he's very used to ignoring me.
So all these pigeons fly onto the guys and they're like on the ground screaming. And then the cops arrive and they're just covered in feathers. And of course in the bag is like there's the Polaroids of the guys robbing the toy store and a little like tape like a little tape that says what the men trying to say they're gonna kill me or something. It's so funny. Does not look like kids' handwriting at all.
But he wants them away forever. You know, like he's like, listen, yeah. I gave you footage of them committing another crime. You already know they've already broken out. They're now serial like kidnappers and they're trying to murder me. I just think at this point they should never get out of jail.
Yeah. But they do. There's so many more Home Alone. So it's like clearly the jail system is. Yeah. Like how many times are they slipping out of jail?
Oh, they're the slippy bandits.
Slippy bandits. My question is, at this point, why doesn't Kevin say to them, hi, I'm lost. Like, I want to go home. Can you help me?
He's still in the lamb, Jessica.
What are you in the lamb for what?
Credit card fraud.
Yeah, he's running away from he can't go back to the hotel, you know? So it's like
wild though. Like,
and he did also like fake gunshots, like set up huge concerns in the hotel as well. There's probably some repercussions there as well.
I guess. Oh, that's true. I guess he did do that. Yeah, which that part, that scene is one of my all time favorites where like everybody has to get on the floor and grovel and say, I love you. And then he starts shooting and they're like army crawling.
Oh, yeah. Tim Curry is a very fast army crawler.
I thought the same thing. He wasn't even using his legs.
Yeah, he's really
good.
They're
just dragging behind him.
A lot of upper body strength.
I'm telling you, that movie is what everything we needed. That Angels with Even Filthier Souls. Because I'm telling you, when she's like, he's like, tell me you love me. And she's like, you're the only duck in my pond, Johnny. I was like, yes. Johnny, you're the only duck in my pond.
Are you concerned that she's like going on like hookups with his brother, though, the actress in that movie?
Yeah, maybe. I mean,
yeah, that was the whole line in it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, maybe Duffy, she got shot at because of that.
Little Mo with the gimpy leg. Everybody.
Yeah,
she was smooching with everybody. Yeah, exactly.
Smooching with everybody. So Kevin decides that he now wants to go to the tree because he loves trees. We learned this early on. Mm-hmm. And the mom is still looking for Kevin and is like, tosses the police. And as we all discussed, the cops do not want to help anybody.
Literally doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
The guy is just like, oh, just wait for us to do our job. As I sit here and do nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not under his department. And then she realizes that he has to be at Rockefeller Center. And they all go.
The guy finally drives her at the very least. And he's like standing at the Christmas tree saying like, I just want to see my family again.
Doing a little prayer.
If I can't see any of them, at least my mother. Like, I just want to see her, even if it's just for a couple of minutes.
He was being a high mommy's boy this movie.
He's 10.
He was very into his mommy.
No, I agree. He was doing the most.
Would
your parents know where to find you if this ever happened to you, Sarah? Like, would they know to go to Bloomies?
Where would my mom try to find me? I don't know. I did run away once, but it just was down the block.
Yeah, you came back.
I came back.
That's all that matters. Yeah. No, my parents know me well enough to know it. Even at my old ass age, you can find me at FAO Swartz because I'm going to be standing on the big piano. Like, I'm definitely going to be playing chopsticks by myself.
You're
going to
be bigging it up.
I got to. Like, if you have, like, listen, that was one of my first stops when I went to New York. I was like, I'm sorry, this is where I'm going to be. Yeah. So, not bad.
Tommy, have you ever wished that you grew up into an older Tom Hanks?
Tommy Hanks. You know what? Yeah. Like, but am I Tom Hanks? Or am I like Tommy, but like with Tom Hanks's looks?
Oh, that's a good question.
I feel like I mean, it's you, right? It's you. You just want to be big. That's what he wanted.
I've never been tall. So I'll do it for Tom Hanks height.
Yeah, you have to go to like Coney Island or something and like talk to this mechanical fortune teller contraption. Have you ever seen Big?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a 90s movie? Is that on y'all's like watch list?
I think it's the late 80s.
Ooh.
Let me look.
I know.
It is 88.
Boo.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen it?
Never seen Jessica.
Okay, so yeah. So
listen, Jess, every time you show me a Tom Hanks movie, he's an asshole in it.
He's not an asshole in this movie, I don't
he's
think.
He's just a child.
He's just a kid. So this is what happens. He's a kid. And
wait,
you
need to spoil it for me. I haven't seen it.
Well, it's literally... It's, I mean, okay, fine. Never mind.
It was my first drive-in movie with comboed with Chicken Run. Chicken Run.
Wait, Tommy, then, you were alive in the 80s?
I don't know. It was at the drive-in. So maybe
okay, Tommy was not.
How was he alive?
Maybe it was a rerun, but in my head, it was new release.
No, they must have done. They must have done like an old movie night or something.
Right, because Chicken Run dropped in 2000. So I don't. Know. Being alive in the '80s is not the indicator that you think it is here.
Like, is that what they were like, let's put Chicken Run with this '80s movie band.
That sounds like what they did.
Yeah, it's exactly what they did. Weird. That is very funny. No, Jess, you have to watch it. Y'all have to.
No, I do. I do want to watch it. I do want to watch it.
Yeah.
No, I think. Well, eventually, we're in the works, and this isn't a spoiler because we haven't even picked what we would do yet. But there is like a month we want to dedicate to like just missed it, as we like to call them. So like 2000s or 2001 movies, and then like 89, 88 movies where like they just missed the cutoff, but we really want to watch them.
Yes, call me.
Yes. Oh, I do want to watch that. I do love Tom Hanks. I just get upset when Sarah makes me watch movies where I don't like him, like You've Got Mail, which is trash. It's trash, I say. Anyway.
You had to be there.
Ugh. Moving on. So also, Mr. Duncan got like a note that Kevin left saying like, hey, I had to break your window to like get them to stop robbing, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, Kevin and his mom reunited. It's very cute. And then, okay, this is where I don't understand what the hell happened. All of the McAllisters are at this, like, the nicest fucking hotel room I've literally ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, we're back at the Plaza.
How did they afford it? Did they afford this? Did they get this for free?
No, okay, so they went there, and then they pulled a Karen and said, how dare you let a child check in? We are going to report you to the authorities.
Oh.
And they were ass-kissing him, and they were like, no, like... We'll set you up in the nicest room. Like, we'll take care of you. Don't you worry.
That seriously was like the penthouse. There was an upstairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a whole ass Christmas tree.
Well, yes. Well, so then they all slept there. Nobody wants to sleep in the bed with Fuller. Is that what his name is?
Fuller. Yeah, because he drank 3 Coke cans before bed and he's going to wet the bed, this little fucker.
He gets the entire king size bed on his own. Everybody else is on the floor. They wake up and they go upstairs, and guess what? The entire upstairs is filled with presents donated by the toy guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this family is filthy rich. They let's just call it what it is. They probably could have afforded this setup, even if they didn't pull a Karen, because they just flew. Well, I think last year they went to Paris, right? They took 14 people to France, or 13. This time they took them all to Florida, only to then take them to New York, like without hesitation. I don't think anybody's comping them 14 flight tickets, so they are loaded.
Exactly, and that's the thing, like. They could have afforded all those presents. They could have afforded the best suite in the Plaza. But the rich people get richer by them gifting shit to them.
Yeah. And there are the little turtle doves on the tree.
Okay. And... So this is the tea. I thought, since Kevin was such a whiny baby mommy's boy, that he was going to give the turtle dove to his mommy.
No. Instead, he runs out. He goes to Central Park. And he gives one to the pigeon lady. And
I liked
that. We'll be friends forever.
That was my favorite part of the movie. That was a surprise.
Tommy looks dubious.
Well, he's never seeing this bird lady again. Like,
Tommy, they're going to be pen pals for life.
How do you write a homeless person?
Central Park, New York. Pigeon lady at Central Park, New York.
They'll find a
lady who's stowing away in the attic of Carnegie Hall.
This is what he does. He writes letters to Duncan's toy store and asks that they get delivered to Pigeon Lady. And this Mr. Duncan loves Kevin, so he will do it.
No, she probably just has carrier pigeons who just like, she can train.
I love that even more.
Chicago.
She probably dies of bird flu by next Christmas.
Sarah! What's wrong with you?
Also, I had problems with the presents, though. Buzz was trying to be all nice, be like, you can open it first. They pulled a Mr. Duncan where they, like, mm-hmm. say he has the choice, and then they all started opening the gifts. Yes, he didn't even open them first.
It's trash. Buzz sucks. Buzz is the worst. Literally the worst. I hate him.
Yeah. None of these kids should be getting Kevin's presents. Like, present, Kevin has done, look, we were talking about him being a vigilante, and that may be the case, but he also did save the day single-handedly. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that these are all Kevin's toys and that his kid, his friends and family, and especially Buzz, need to get the hell away from his stuff.
Yep.
Were there even names on these presents? Mm-hmm. Or were they supposed to be all for Kevin?
It was just like children's stuff, like shit. Various
things. What's Uncle Frank doing with the toys?
You know what? Fuck Uncle Frank. He's like, nobody touch my presents. Uncle Frank is literally the worst character. But I mean, Fuller's pretty bad, but at least he's a kid. Whereas Uncle Frank is just a fucking asshole.
Yeah, I mean, he's literally laughing in that. I can't get the concert really lives rent-free in my head. He's laughing with the kids at in the beginning. Like, he's awful.
Oh, Uncle yes. Yeah, don't laugh at the little kid whose big brother is being a dick behind him. The only thing we have Uncle Frank to thank for is, like Chappelle said, that song. That's it.
Yeah. I've only heard that song on that movie and then never again. That stuck. It became a Cool Whip like commercial.
And
but
you gotta do that. And the funny thing is when he does the, like, when he blows up the clown inflatable, he literally has it do the mashed potato, which is what Uncle Frank is doing. So it's kind of funny.
Iconic. Yeah.
It is. This whole movie is iconic. So I have a question for all three of you. If we're picking favorites, which movie do you like better? Do you like the OG Home Alone or OG or Home Alone 2 Lost in New York?
This is hard. Because I already told you, this is like a big movie in Chappelle's life, because I just thought this was what I was supposed to do. I was supposed to go to New York as a kid by myself. And then eventually I did go to New York by myself and just wandered the streets. But I had been waiting to do that my entire life.
Yeah.
So I do appreciate that. But I think nothing beats Kevin at home with his, like, toys, because that's really what made the franchise work. It was the fact that this kid used everyday household items to protect his home. Like, it felt like any kid could do this, right? The second movie, he's a trained assassin. You know, like, he's shimmying into people's, like, renovated homes and using kerosene and, like, blow darts and, you know.
Fireworks.
Like, yeah, and katanas. Like, he's just out here, like, a trained, mercenary. So I think the first movie for me is only better because of that, because it's like, you don't lose the spirit of the movie, which is this kid is supposed to be home alone.
Yeah. If it was called something else and he I don't know, anything else, would it be better? Because we thought that he was gonna be home alone. He's not home.
Yeah, if it was like Secret Agent Kevin, you know, I'm picking the second one, because he's in New York and he's out here, like, we said, he's Batman. He's like a vigilante. He's out here doing the things. But in the first one, it's just like, it's a kid. What would you do if you were a child and burglars were coming in and you couldn't get a hold of the cops, right? Like, it's like, do you sit in your room and hide, or do you grab your little ornaments and put them by the windowsill so they'll step on them? You know, I think that is the spirit of the movie.
Yeah, I can totally see what you're saying. I think this one holds my attention better. I think that it's more exciting, but I do think that his tricks are better in the first one, because I guess it's new and fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And he really does use, like, everyday household items, which is entertaining. But I think, like, if I had to rewatch, I would go towards Home Alone 2.
Yeah, I think for me, obviously, I will say, watching it now, having had some distance from it as a kid, it was better than I remember. But I think Home Alone 2 is a better movie, maybe. And then, but the first one is a better Home Alone. Like, it's a better, has the traps, has better better gadgets and stuff like that. So I am going to give it to one out of for Kid Tommy. This one's for you.
This one's for you. Get it to you, Kid Tommy.
Yeah, I agree. I think I like the original better because it is more about protecting his house, and it's more like a lot of the traps feel a lot more original, right? Just because they're I don't know. The traps feel more original because they're the first time we're seeing them. And so that, yeah, I think, is like a big thing for me. I do love New York as like a film location is always very magical, especially around Christmas time. But I really love Snow Shovel Guy. And it always sticks out in my brain when Kevin is like hung up on that little hook and Snow Shovel mm-hmm. Guy comes in and he takes him down. It's very sweet. I love Pigeon Lady too. But yeah, plus I love the buzz your girlfriend, woof. Just iconic line, iconic line. But yeah, I think both of these are very good movies. Like both of them are movies I would watch every Christmas. And they're just so, there's something so charming about Lil Macaulay Culkin. And something so terrifying about like mostly Joe Pesci. Daniel Stern is not really scary to me, but something about a creepy Joe Pesci like sneaking around, especially when he has the gold tooth.
The gold tooth, yeah.
Very creepy. But yeah, these are iconic films. They're so much fun to talk about. And we appreciate both of you coming on to chat with us about them.
It's been a pleasure. I had a great time. And it's always good. Like Tommy is one of the people who I first podcasted with when I started this journey way back in 2020. So it's always fun to talk to him. And of course, I love y'all too. So this is great.
Yeah, that was my first podcast too. We're coming back together.
I didn't know that was your first one. Yeah.
It's a Christmas miracle.
We're you know what? We're forming bonds. We're rebuilding bonds that were once broken. Rivalries are squashed. It's a Christmas miracle.
Yeah, as long as he doesn't have any mayonnaise, we're good.
Not today. But,
thank goodness.
Yeah, I blame Linda Cardellini for our feud. That's
no,
really no, we love Linda Cardellini.
We do. We really do.
Oh my god. So Chappelle, what are you up to? Where can people find you this holiday season?
People can find me on post-show recaps mostly. I'm just recapping the year and all the post-show recaps content that I helped create this year. So if you have missed it, you can go back and check the post-show recaps feed to look at the year in review for Atlanta, Bel-Air, The Walking Dead, and then you can also catch my coverage of Abbott Elementary. It's now after our mid-season finale, but Gia Worthy and myself are covering that over there. And then on Rob Has a Podcast, we're still doing Netflix shows, and we branched out a little bit and snuck in a non-Netflix show this week, so catch that. Yeah, we broke our character for just a bit, but we had to cover some holiday cheer elsewhere, so check out Nothing But Netflix wherever you get that. And then I think I'll be guesting on Silent Podcast with Gia to talk about the finale of Survivor 43. So it'll be Gia, myself, and Omer from Survivor 42 to talk about the finale. Yeah, so it's a good time. And so check me out in all those places because that's where I'll be at. And then follow me on Twitter at Chappelle's_show to keep up with everything else.
What about you, Tommy? What do you have going on? Where can people find you?
All right. Well, hey, you can find me if you want. I don't really use Twitter, but hey, Tommy's Tidbits. Come for some tweets sometimes. And then otherwise, I have a podcast as well, Stark Wars, where we cover Marvel and Star Wars content. We just put out an audio documentary we made about Jar Jar Binks. We deep dived the Jar Jar.
Oh, my God. It was was that brutal?
I became Jar Jar. It was a whole. Yeah, I went deep. But a really fun podcast, really dived into it, all the different angles of that. And then we're on a little bit of a break right now because there's no shows, but we're going to have our award show for the year of Marvel and Star Wars stuff. We're going to have that coming soon. So
fun. Amazing. Sarah, what about you? Where are you located?
I'm here. So we are mid-season 5 of Dawson's Creek. I guess the main header is that we are finishing up our coverage of Boy Meets World. We have done our season 5-7 recap, and we are about to record our series finale recap, and then our coverage of Boy Meets World is finished for the foreseeable future, which once again, we've had the two of you on since nearly the very beginning. So thank you so much for your support and for coming on every season. We love you both for that. And it's going to be like an emotional time. So if you want to listen to our series recap of Boy Meets World, think Jessica and I are going to talk a little bit about like the origins of Shit 90s Shows taught us, just because that was our first show, Boy Meets World. And you know,
yeah, I've taken some screenshots already today of like us first talking about the podcast, just so I can have references for the podcast. It's very funny.
It's gonna be like a very you know, a nice little goodbye, since we started this in 2020. That was our first show. It's wrapping up nicely at the end of 2022. So check that out. You can find us at Shit90sPod on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me at Sarah Ferguson. But that's about it.
I'm on Twitter at the Just Sterling. You can catch me over at Posher Recaps covering Mythic Quest, covering Community, and covering the new National Treasure show, Edge of History. So go check out all of those fun little podcasts I have going on over at Posher Recaps. And beyond that, you can find me, of course, here every week covering a whole mess of crap. We're going to be finishing up Boy Meets World very soon, and Dawson's Creek is very fun. We're in season 5 of Dawson's Creek, and we're enjoying it immensely. So, yeah, I think that's all we have. So, to us and everyone else out there, I hope you have a happy holidays. I hope you have a Merry Christmas. Whatever holiday you celebrate, I hope it's a wonderful, stress-free time. Take some time to yourself. Treat yourself a little bit. And stay safe and stay warm. And we'll talk to you all next year. Have a good one, everybody. Goodbye.
Just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.